hope you enjoy this message from Eastside C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
I want to talk to you this morning while we're doing this series called All In. I just want to talk about something that's very much on my heart and for this morning. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Pastor Paul did an amazing message last week on times and seasons, cycles and seasons. It says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. So you got to know that in your life, there's seasons, natural and spiritual seasons, but there's a time for every purpose. There's a time for everything God has for you. Sometimes that takes longer than what we would hope, but God has a time and a purpose for everything in your life. Now, he goes on in Ecclesiastes, Solomon, and he says in verse 7, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence. But look at this, my emphasis added here, a time to speak. So I want to talk to you this morning about finding your voice. Finding your voice. In a world full of voices, sometimes voices in our head talking to us, I want to talk about finding your voice. So a good place to start is right at the very beginning, book of Genesis, chapter 1. It says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said something. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So, right at the very beginning here, Alex is getting to it. Right at the very beginning here, we find God himself speaking. He's found his voice. He's speaking. And what he does is he speaks and things begin to happen and things begin to move. And so you got to know that everything in the kingdom of God, everything in God's way of doing things, begins with a word. And when that word is spoken, things begin to move, things begin to change. And it's interesting to me, this always begs a question, when it says, when God said, the question is, who is he talking to? Because there's nobody there. Someone yelled out, he's talking to himself. The other time. But so who is he? So there's no. So here's the revelation that comes out of this verse, that the first time speaking is used in the Bible, it is used not to communicate, but to actually change things on this planet. God said something, and things begin to move and rearrange and change. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And you know, me, I say this, I go, that's great, that's God, that's who he is, that's what he does. He's God. He can speak and things can happen. He can speak and light can happen. That's him, he's God. But you know what you're going to find? You're going to find right down through the Bible, all the way through, God instructs his people, his prophets, to actually speak things into existence on this planet. There's a guy named Moses. God speaks to him, the children of Israel, the Jewish people have come out of Egypt and they've come into, out of Egypt and they're in the wilderness, they've got no water, and God speaks to Moses, he says, I want you to speak to a rock that water would come out of it for them. And of course, Moses doesn't do that, he actually hits the rock, but that's another story. But God commanded him to speak to a rock, for goodness sake. How crazy is that? Water comes out of the rock. There's another guy called Joshua. He actually speaks to the sun and tells it to stand still in the sky. And the whole earth stops rotating for a 24-hour period so that they can accomplish what they needed to get done. Incredible. There's another guy called Ezekiel. God shows him a valley of these dead, dry bones. And he says, I want you to speak to the bones in the vision. Command them to come together. Command them to come alive. But all the while, God is instructing them to say something into a dead atmosphere. Say something to stop something moving. Say something. Speak into it. There's another guy called Zechariah, a prophet. God says to him, I want you to speak to a mountain. Command it to be non-existent. And so all the way through, we find God himself speaking two things, rearranging them, changing them. It's incredible. And then we have Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, coming to planet Earth. And he also speaks to things. Now, when you have a normal conversation with someone and you say, talk about speaking to things, people think you're crazy. Because they think that speaking is for communication, and it certainly is. But initially, it was designed to change things. So Jesus comes. We find Jesus doing this. He speaks to a storm. He says, peace be still. It obeys him. He speaks to sicknesses in people's lives. Tells them to be healed. He speaks to demons and demonic spirits that are in people and around them, harassing them, and they leave. Incredible. And then at one point here, it's an amazing story in Mark chapter 11, we find Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, talking to a tree. Jesus, he's talking to a tree. And Jesus went in Mark chapter 11, verse 14, and Jesus went into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around at all things, because it was already late, or the hour was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, oh yum, that's got no chlorine in it. What did you guys do to this? It's awesome. It just tastes so different. They spoke to it. I got to do that at home. I'm going to speak to that jug full of water and... Well done. Yeah, chlorine, go. So, or maybe we should go to the root cause and say council, go. Council, change. Where was I? And seeing from afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. Now, when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And Jesus, in response, Jesus said to it, this is Jesus, right? He's talking to a tree. He says to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Yeah, next please. Now in the morning, as they pass by, now they go out from Jerusalem, they're back to Bethany, and then the next day they're coming back into town. It says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, This is what I would have thought Jesus would have said. Yes, it's withered away. I'm Jesus. I'm the Messiah. That's what I do. I speak to things and they do whatever I want. That's what I would have thought he would have said. He doesn't say that. It's astounding what he says. So Jesus answered and said to them, firstly, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, not just I say to you, but absolutely, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says or says. Wow. So he's saying, that Peter's like, look at the fig tree. Jesus is saying, that's nothing. Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever, or as I've said before, the old King James is, whosoever. That's you and that's me. Anybody that'll get hold of this and believe this. He says, whoever speaks to this mountain and says, be cast into the sea, doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he comes to pass will come to pass. He'll have whatever he says. So there's more to this speaking than what we've realized, connecting to our faith. So he says, speak to this mountain. So what is a mountain? For me, a mountain is anything that stands between you and the promise of God. Anything that stands between you and what God has declared, that's a mountain. And Jesus says, speak to the thing and tell it to get out of your life, get out of your world. Find your voice and speak to it. Whatever's coming against you, whatever is not part of the promise of God, what God has spoken to you, what he has revealed to you, whatever that is, you speak to the thing and you tell it to get out of your life, get out of your world, and it will obey you. Maybe a mountain of sickness. It may be a mountain of debt. It may be a mountain of addiction. It may be a mountain of fear. It may be a relational mountain. Maybe a small mountain. Might be a large mountain. But when mountains come into your world that are anti to the promises of God, Jesus says, you speak to them and command them to get out of your life. Get out of my family. Get out of my life. Speak to them. Wow. When a mountain comes into your world, Jesus says, find your voice, speak to it, tell it to go. Here's what we tend to do. I include myself. When a mountain comes into our world, first thing we do, we start complaining about the mountain. You know, oh, I wish this mountain hadn't come. I wish this mountain wasn't here. I wish this mountain would go away. We start complaining about the mountain. Next thing we do is we ask God to take the mountain away. Please, God, take away this mountain. Please, I don't want this mountain here. Please take it away. Other thing we ask other people to pray for us, which is perfectly fine. Pray that the mountain would go. And all these are valid things. But at some point, Jesus says, when a mountain comes into your world, you need to find your voice and you need to, in the authority that you have as a son and daughter of the living God, speak to the thing and tell it to get out of your life. Get out of my world. Get out of my life. In Jesus' name, speak to it. Find your voice. And you've got to find things shifting. As I said to you, everything in the kingdom operates when a word is declared, when it is spoken, and when you speak out of your mouth and begin to declare over your world the promises of God, what God has said, it begins to change things and rearrange things in the spirit realm, causes it to come to pass. Speak to the mountain. I'm trying to, Janet. Thank you. So now here's a phenomenal story, Matthew chapter 8. It says this, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion, a Russian officer, Roman, watching too many spy movies lately, watching Putin on TV with Donald Trump, like, what's going on? It's the Russians. It's not fake news. So Russians. Roman. A Roman officer in the army came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. Jesus said to him, oh, come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only what? Speak a word. And my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And to this one, come, and he comes. And my servant do this, and he does it. And Jesus heard it. He marveled. This is pretty cool, getting Jesus to marvel. He marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Jesus calls this great faith. Just believe that by speaking something that it could cause change in your life, in somebody else's life. He says, speak a word and it's going to happen. I love this in verse in the New Living Translation. Next, please. That's gone too far now. And the New Living Translation that says this, but the officer said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. So he knew, he had a revelation that when you begin to speak the word of God, when you begin to speak into a situation, it can change things in the spirit realm. It can change things from another place. So he's saying, Jesus, you're here right now, but I know that when you speak that word, that will travel through time and space into that other place, wherever it is, and cause change there. You and I can do that. You know, we can speak a word right here, right now, and it can travel into that hospital room on the other side of town and cause something to happen. We can begin to, shall I change? We can begin to speak a word to right now to something that could affect something in another nation, in another country. Just speak the word. Just say the word from where you are, he says, and I know it's going to happen. Man, that's incredible. Say something from here and something will change over there. Wow. So 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13, this is what Paul says, the Apostle Paul. He says, he's talking about faith now, and he says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. So to have faith or have the spirit of faith is not just to believe something, but to believe something and speak it. So faith is not just believing. Faith is believing and speaking. What is faith? Let's go. What is faith? It is
believing
and speaking. So this speaking part is far more important than maybe what we've realized. Our mouth has power, and God wants us to find our voice. In a world where there are a lot of other voices, and like I said, sometimes those voices are in your head telling you all kinds of ridiculous things. We need to find our voice and begin to speak and declare what God has said about us and about our lives and about our family, and speak that out of our mouth. And you're going to find tremendous power happening when we begin to believe a thing and speak a thing. It's powerful. Believe what God says about us and say what God says about us. So Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this. If you confess, that means speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by speaking with your mouth that you are saved. Or confessing. So salvation involves believing and speaking. Believing and speaking. I know for me, a few years ago now, I went to a Connect group meeting, and I was in that meeting, and I just knew that God was real, and I knew that I wanted to ask Jesus to come into my life and forgive me, and that's all I know to do. The Christians had just said to me, Calvin, you got to ask Jesus into your heart. That's all I could remember. So I did that all internally. I said, God, come in then, come into my heart and forgive me. And something happened to me, and I knew something had happened to me, and I went home. I never told anybody. I never said anything, and I went home, and I lay on my bed that night, and I looked up at the stars through the window, I guess. Maybe it was over there, and I just knew that he was real and that he knew everything and that he was very big. And I wondered how all of those years beforehand I had not come into it and know this God or encounter that he was real, and it was stunning to me. And when I woke up the next morning, everything looked different, and I knew something had happened to me, and I knew he was real, and I had the most incredible sensation in my heart that I couldn't explain. But now I know it was peace. Yeah. Peace. and you don't really know what that peace is until you accept him and ask him to come in. You thought you had peace before, but this is peace that passes all understanding. And I thought, wow. Anyway, I came out and my flatmates were there. And they know I've been hanging around with Christians, and I must have looked different because they said to me, they're looking at me, and they said, are you a Christian now? And I had to think for a second, and I said, yes, I am. Now, when I said that, something happened on the inside of me. Something cemented on the inside of me. And later on, I went to church, and someone showed me this verse. When you believe it in your heart, but when you actually speak it out your mouth, that's when that transaction takes place and heaven comes down. And I was like, wow. Now, I'm not making that a formula, but salvation is based on believing and speaking. That's why we get people to pray a simple prayer to ask Jesus to come into their life and speak it out their mouth. It's based on this in Romans. And Paul says, this is how you get saved. This is how you become a Christian. This is how you get to go to heaven when you die. Is by doing that, but believing and speaking is everywhere. It's essential for faith. Are we going okay? Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Message Bible says words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit, you choose. Now, people will tell you that words can't hurt you, but the Bible says something different. It says there's death and life in what you say. So you can speak life over your world, or you can speak death over your world. You can speak life over your children. You can speak death over them. You can speak all kinds of things. But there's power in what you say. Phenomenal. So, And the thing is, I think when someone begins to speak words over you, even as we're growing up or at any stage in life, someone begins to speak words over us, they can go down on the inside of us and have an effect. But listen, it's not what somebody else said over you or what somebody else said about you. It's what you say about yourself. That's what matters. And so sometimes you just got to speak the word of God over your life, over your situation. You got to speak to yourself. You got to speak over yourself. You know, that woman in Matthew chapter 9, I don't know if I actually put that in, Luke, I didn't. Matthew chapter 9, there's a woman Paul talked about in the other week with an issue of blood, and she's gone 18 years, I think, or a long time, and she's not healed, and she's just desperate. And the Bible says this, it says, before she came to Jesus, she said to herself, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She said to herself. And we got to, listen, you got a lot of accusing voices coming to your brain. Most days, for me, if not every day, I got some accusing thoughts coming in here. If not accusing, I got, you're never going to make it. You're hopeless. You're useless. It's not going to happen. That thing that God said about you, it's not going to happen. That thing that you're believing for is not going to happen. God healed that person, but he's just not going to do it for you. It's taking, you know, you will have a lot of that going on. And listen, to disarm all of that, you've got to find your voice and begin to speak. And when you speak, it disarms all of that stuff. Paul says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The way you do that, the way you cast down those thoughts is not just by trying to think something else, but by speaking out of your mouth. And as you begin to speak and declare, and sometimes you've got to get in front of the mirror and speak to yourself and say, I will fulfill the purposes of God. I will fulfill the will of God over my life. Whatever it may be, speak to yourself. You've got to tell yourself that. You've got to find your voice. Begin to speak it. I will be all that God says I can be. I will do all God says I can do. Sometimes you got to do that. A lot of voices. A lot of voices telling you, especially this, you know, generation now, a lot of accusing voices. We've got to make sure that we begin to speak the word of God over our children, over this next generation. We begin to declare something different over them because words have power. There's death and life in them. Amazing. So look at this, Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. That word confession, the Old Testament was written in the Hebrew language, the New Testament's written in the Greek language. The word for confession is the word homologos. Homo same as, logos word. It means to say the same as. So the English translation here is a poor translation in the fact that it doesn't capture the essence of what the Greek is saying. Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast onto homologos. Let us hold fast onto saying the same thing. Let us hold fast onto saying what God says. God says you're an overcomer. He says you've got a hope and a future. Begin to say that over your life. And you'll be amazed that two-edged sword of the word of God, not only does it cut that junk that's coming against you, but it creates a faith on the inside of you, and you begin to believe that. You're like, yes, God did say that about me. Quite a while ago now, not that long, last Thursday. No, could have been last Thursday. I just started it. This thing just got on me. And I started to feel really, really, really bad. I'm not saying this is, you know, I think we will all experience this at different levels. But sometimes you just come into a realm of, I'm talking to Christians today, you know, you're coming into a realm of kind of this, we're in a war, and you come into a thing where it just gets depressing and it gets dark. And this thing started to get on me, and it buried me to the point, and I didn't do anything about it immediately. I didn't start speaking to it. I let it build up. And then all of a sudden, I found myself waking up in the morning feeling really terrible, feeling, and the devil wants to paint a picture for you. God says, I know the thoughts I have for you. I know the plans I have you, the plans for good, to give you a hope and a future. He wants to paint a dark future in there. And bring that spirit around you of depression and negativity where you don't see a dark future. And I think for those of us, the older we get, we start to look back and we think how many opportunities we missed or all the rest of it. And the devil says, yeah, you've had your day. For our generation, it's you've had your day. It's the young guys that are going to do it. For the young guys, it's like, you know, you're never going to make it. That's all tailor-made. And so I started to get really depressed. And so I got so buried, I couldn't even say the verses. I couldn't even remember Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I have, plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of good to give you a hope and a future. Because all I could get out was part B of that. Because all I could, just, so I just started saying, I got a hope and a future. Didn't look like it right then, felt terrible. So I got a hope and a future. God said I got a hope and a future. God said I got a hope and a future. God said I got a hope and a future. I must have said that 1,000 times a day. It felt like it was shredded. I said, God, I got a hope and a future. And all of the emotion and all of the stuff and all of the mistakes of the past and all of that, the devil was just thrown in front of me. You're never going to make it. You're not going to do it. You're not going to fulfill what God called you to do. None of that's going to happen for you. You might as well just give up now. And I just had to keep saying, speak. I had to find my voice in that dark moment, begin to declare what God said about me. He said, you got a hope and a future. And you got to put your name in there sometimes because you can think, well, that's for everybody else. No, I got a hope and a future for you, Calvin. And I just begin to say, I got a hope and a future. It took me a couple of days just speaking that, but all of a sudden, a bit of light started to come. Then something started to bubble up on the inside of me, and it's like faith come up on there again. And I began to think, I have got a hope in a future. I wasn't just saying it anymore. Now I was beginning to believe it. And it just dissipated all of that. Listen, you've got to find your voice. Begin to speak what God has said about you, the promises that He's said about you. He says you're the head and not the tail. You say, oh, I feel like the tail. Don't say you're the tail, say you're the head. Because God said you're the head and not the tail. You're above only and not beneath. You're more than a conqueror. There's power in your words. Ben, could you join me, please? Amos 3:3. Look at this. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Can two walk together? Don't worry about what they're doing. Can two walk together? No, they can't. So listen, God's never going to leave you or forsake you, but He finds it quite difficult to walk with you when you're not agreeing with Him. You're not saying what He said. You're going, oh, I'm a miserable, hopeless worm. Nothing's ever going to happen for me. He says, I've made you the righteousness of God. You're more than a conqueror. You got a hope and a future. I have a purpose and a plan for you. So begin to say what He says. Agree with God. Did I put Joel there? Look at this. Beat your plowshares into swords and etc. He says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Even though you don't feel strong now, God says you're strong, say you're strong. Your mouth's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Begin to say what God says over your life. Begin to say what God says. And last verse here, Job 22:28, it says, you will also declare a thing, it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. Amplified, you shall also decide and decree a thing, and it shall be established for you, and the light of God's favour shall shine upon your ways. Wow, awesome. There's more to the speaking than what we've realised. Let's find our voice again. Let's begin to declare and speak to situations in our life that have no right to be there, but you've got the right to tell them to go. Let's begin to declare what God said about us over our lives, over our families.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.